Welcome into Vern's postgame show.
Cole Reagans dials up a 96-mile-an-hour fastball. He sets a new career high with 12 strikeouts.
Brought to you by Guaranteed Foods. Guaranteed Foods is helping thousands of Midwestern families save time, stretch dollars, and eat healthier since 1958. And you can too. Call 913-888-5000 or visit GuaranteedFoods.com.
Swing and a chopper left side. Garcia's got it with a dive. Spins, throws in time.
This is your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan. Here's your Royals insider, Josh Fournier.
And make it five straight dubs for the good guys. Royals take the opener from Houston, winning by a final score of 2-0. Oh, what a night at the ballpark. A very quick, efficient night. An outstanding ball game by Seth Lugo. We'll dive into the remarkable performance by the All-Star right-hander throughout tonight. But I want to hear from you if you were one of the 19,000 in attendance. I see quite a few of you walking past the booth here at Kauffman Stadium. Hello, hello. Hopefully you enjoyed the fireworks. Yes, they were very nice. No, I want to hear from you. 913-586-7965. That's 913-586-7965. And boy, what a difference a week makes, ladies and gentlemen. I know I say it all the time, and often it's, oh, Vern, you're just being a homer. It continues to be true. So much in this beautiful game of baseball, so much can change in just one short week. You know, it's wild in a sport, in a season where it's, what, 27, 28 weeks long? I mean, our attitude can go from sky high to the basement floor in 1 week, and then we're back to being sky high the week later. In a season that lasts 6 months, 162 games, I know we have some new fans, some new diehard Royals fans that have jumped aboard here in 2025 following that magical debut album last summer. Not all of you were here for the roller coaster of 2013. I understand that. So for those of you new to Royals baseball, to the grind of 162, keep yourself together. Take a deep breath when you feel like panicking. And in that same breath, take a deep breath when you feel like throwing a parade in April, May, June, July, or August. There's a long way to go, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, just 1 week ago, tonight, the Royals dropped their fifth straight game and panic was setting in all across Royals Nation. Five straight losses. You're swept in New York. You dropped the first two in Detroit. You're about to lose a third. Everyone's complaining about this guy and that guy. We're complaining about Renfro and MJ. Now you fast forward 1 week, and from a five-game losing streak last Friday, it's a five-game winning streak this Friday. And instead of complaining about outfielders, we're praising Drew Waters and Mark Canna. Hunter Renfro has five hits in his last five games. From panic setting in this time last week, confidence setting in this week. And the way that I see it, man, the checklist of concerns really seems to be less and less over the past few days. You know, over those first 20-some-odd games, there were plenty of phone calls and text messages, tweets, and even people stopping by the booth out here at Kauffman Stadium. Plenty of complaints, plenty of aspects of this team that you were, at times, understandably concerned about, worried about, freaking out about. How many of those remain? How many of those concerns persist inside your Royals fan mind? 913-586-7965. I don't know exactly where you go with that. When you're looking at your checklist of concerns for the 2025 team, you know, there was a while there where I was, hey, are they sacrificing too much defensively? I don't really have that concern. Not anymore. Bullpen, who's going to step up in the absence of Hunter Harvey? That concern's not dominating my thoughts the way that it may have this time last week. The supporting cast around the big bats in the lineup, man, those concerns have been, I don't want to say completely nullified, but those concerns have been silenced by the red-hot Drew Waters, the consistency of Freddie Vermeen and Kyle Isbell at the bottom of the lineup. How about what Mikel Garcia has done of late? And then, of course, the big bats in the middle. 27 games into the season, I still refuse to be concerned in the least. Vinny has time. Salvi broke out yesterday. And Bobby Witt Jr. just ho-hum has a base hit in 25 of the team's first 27 games. So on that checklist that you keep, that checklist of concerns, how many concerns remain? Let's go to the phone lines. 913-586-7965. We're going to start off with Kit. Kit was in the building, one of the 19,000 in attendance. Kit, what'd you think of that one?
How's it going, Vern?
All right, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. Yeah, at the ballpark tonight, and I just felt like the team was more committed, more electric than they've been since the beginning of the season. It seems that their motivation was better. I mean, Vermeen just seemed to approach the plate with a lot more conviction than he has in the past. I think for the first time this season, taking an eye back and looking towards the future as we can go. So it was great to see. And I mean, Lugo was lights out. It was fantastic.
Yeah. Lugo is without question the story of this game, Kit. Thank you very much for the phone call. How about this? Seth Lugo back atop Major League Baseball as far as innings pitched. 8 shutout frames from the All-Star righty. Without question, tonight's Guaranteed Foods player of the game. 8 innings of 3-hit baseball, as manager just told you, it's the best he's ever seen him. And Seth Lugo was the runner-up for the American League Cy Young Award just last year. He was great more than he was bad last year. Right? Lugo was consistently good, and in a game of failure, he was great more than he was bad. And the manager just said, this start today was better than all that. All that stuff where he came up just short of a Cy Young, he was even better tonight. And who am I to disagree? And just complete and utter domination. It was one of those days where if you're really zeroed in on Seth Lugo, you could see the wheels spinning. It looked at times like he was 3 pitches in the future. Right, Christian Walker steps to the dish, and Lugo already has the first 4 pitches mapped out in his mind. I mean, if you really lock in on him on a day like this, the quickness in which he's going to his hip to call the next pitch is remarkable. The guy is a savant, and it was all on display today. He takes a no-hitter into the fourth, scatters 3 hits across 8 shutout frames. And now through his first 6 starts of 2025, Seth Lugo's ERA is down to 3.08. Yeah, our Guaranteed Foods player of the game will receive a delicious gourmet dinner for 2 from Guaranteed Foods to prepare and enjoy at home. It'll all be delivered to you and your family from Guaranteed Foods. So congratulations again to our Guaranteed Foods player of the game. Seth Lugo picks up his 2nd win of the season, and the Royals are now just 1 game under .500, sitting at 13-14 on the season. The latest reminder of just how quickly things can change in this beautiful, beautiful game. Let's go to Tyler in Grain Valley. Tyler, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. How's it going? I just want to say, I mean, not much has dropped off from the team last year. I think this team's probably even better than we think. It's important to note that certain players can develop differently. And I think we're seeing that with Drew Waters. You know, he's kind of blossoming late, and hopefully he can become an everyday outfielder for us.
No doubt.
That's all
you
got.
No doubt. Well said. Yeah, that's a great phone call. And he's 100% right. You know, for as much as, and I fall victim to this all the time, I try not to. I promise you. I try to avoid putting ceilings on guys or saying, okay, that's it. This is who they are. Let's give up. I promise I try to do that. But it gets all of us. Not saying that happened with Drew Waters. But yes, let Drew be the latest reminder of progress is not linear when it comes to a Major League Baseball player. And let's also use Drew Waters as the latest example of, and this goes beyond baseball, at times all someone needs is a support, a little bit of support, a pat on the back, someone to believe in them. If you were listening to the On Deck show or if you listened to the postgame show yesterday, you heard my conversation with Drew Waters. He called in after the win last night as they swept the Colorado Rockies. And I brought it up to him, man, what did that mean to you last Saturday in Detroit when Mark Canha returns and instead of the easy move and sending you back to Omaha, instead of doing that, the team makes the difficult move and options MJ Melendez to Omaha for the first time in years. And in doing so, without as much fanfare, they also say, we believe in you. We're going to ride with you. You've earned this spot on the team. Now, go make the most of it. Go capitalize on this opportunity. And since that decision was made on Saturday, Drew Waters has played in six games. He has four multi-hit games. He's batting .450 with four extra base hits, four runs driven in, four runs scored, a couple of walks, a stolen base, and he's playing outstanding defense. Now, I understand he has two errors on the season, but if you go back and look, that's right when he got here. And when he still likely believed that it was a short-term stay in the big leagues. When he thought he would be the one option back when Mark Canha returned. But he put some wind in his sails. Some confidence in his heart and in his mind. And how can you not be happy for Drew Waters? Great phone call. Way to get us going. No doubt. 913-586-7965. Let's go to Lee Summit. Talk with JR. You're next up on 96.5, The Fan, as the Royals shut out the Astros and win a fifth straight game. Final score, 2-0. Go ahead, JR.
Vern, had a great time at the game tonight, my boys. Seth Lugo, 8 innings pitched, no runs, 3 hits. Dealing, Astros could have used a few guys in their dugout banging some trash cans tonight, maybe nice. Understand what's going on from him. Drew Waters, stay hot. Bobby, stay hot. Mikel, stay hot. Boys are getting that swagger back. And Vern, before I hop off here, we were actually, me and my two boys were the ones that stopped by. They want to give you a shout-out. You're the GOAT. Appreciate you, bro. Let's go Royals.
Love it. Love it. Well, hey, nice seeing you. And listen, if you plan on coming out to Kauffman Stadium and you find yourself on the main concourse right around the Diamond Club, swing by my booth. You'll see it. They have the big 96.5, The Fan logo. I swing by, say hi. Let me thank you for listening all these years. And it gives me a chance to, you know, put faces to names. It also allows me to see a really disappointed face when you get to see what I'm bringing to the party. But JR, nice seeing you and the boys, man. Well, that was cool. I mean, the kid said, hey, you know what, Dad, we don't want to see fireworks. We want to go see Vern. We listen to him all the time. We'll see the fireworks some other time. Let's go see Vern. They chose me over fireworks, so I had to give him something. I had to hook him up with a prize and got a few prizes here. Royals gave us quite the prize today, a fifth straight win. And now Michael Wacha takes the ball in game two, Chris Bubich in the finale, and you know, previous caller mentions at times and quite often this team is reminiscent of that 2024 team, that debut album that was such a huge smash in the summer last season. Nothing is more reminiscent of 2024 than the fact of the next day's starting pitcher, regardless of what happened tonight, the next day's starting pitcher always fills you with hope. I don't know how much more hope you need when the boys have won five straight, but It sure is encouraging to think, oh, yeah, it certainly could get up to seven. You could sweep this Houston Astros ball club. Now, we're not going to get too far ahead of ourselves. But it just goes to show, even when the biggest names in the lineup aren't delivering at the clip that they were last year, the supporting cast is picking up the slack. The bullpen, the rotation is somehow matched, if not even improved, over the outstanding performances we saw just a year ago. We're 27 games into this sophomore album. A sophomore album that in your heart of hearts, you'll admit that you'd be fine if it was a carbon copy of the debut album. Even if it's a We Bow Out in the ALDS, man, you give me that entertaining of a summer, and you won't hear much complaints. You know, if you can deliver another smash like you did last summer, even if it's identical, man, we'll take it. We'll enjoy it. Now, you give us a little truth serum, and no, yeah, we want more. We want the ALCS. We want the World Series. We want the baseball equivalent of the never mind, right? Kendrick Lamar's sophomore album, that's what we want, where you just take things to another level and truly cement yourself as one of the forces in the game. 27 games into the sophomore album, is it still possible? Do you still believe that this can be better than that? Remember how much fun you had last summer. Royals have won 5 straight. They got to get back to 500 first. And they'll give it a shot tomorrow with Michael Wacha on the hill. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7965. Let's go to Brad in Olathe. Brad, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern, long-time listener, first-time caller. I don't want to talk to you. I want to talk to all the Royals fans out there. It's okay to believe. It's okay to believe that this team can be good. It's okay to believe that this team can get to the playoffs. I know when we lost 5-6 straight that everybody wanted to throw up their hands and say, oh, it's going to happen again. You know what? It's okay to believe we have a good team. We have a strong rotation. We have a strong offense. When they get their bats going, I'll take your comments off the air. Appreciate you, Vern. I listen to you every night. You go Royals.
Thank you very much, Brad. All right, he was addressing you, Kansas City. I await your response. Let's go to Cam in Blue Springs. You're next up on the postgame show as the Royals hold the Astros to 3 hits. Just complete and utter domination. A game that took less than 2 hours, Cam.
Hi, Vern. Longtime listener, called in a couple times. Name's Tim, by the way, not Cam, but I won't.
Sorry about that. I apologize.
Manager, no worries. Listen, you know what? The game went by so fast tonight. I looked at my wife. I said, can you believe we got out of here in 2 hours? And I said, it was glorious. And the bigger picture, Vern, for me, is we live in a town with championship teams all around, teams that are competitive all around. We've got the Royals that are fighting and slugging their way back. We've got the Mavericks that are in round one right now in Tulsa in the playoffs, kicking some butt. We've got the Chiefs. We've got Sporting. I mean, we almost become spoiled, you know, with all the amazing sports at our hands. And I'll just let you know, my biggest chagrin of the night is hearing you on the radio, knowing that one day a big market's going to scoop you away from us, and we're not going to have you much longer, my friend. So keep it rolling. You're awesome, and thankful to be in a winning town.
Well, I'm very thankful to be in a winning town. I don't think you need to worry about anything like that, because I really don't think these jobs exist outside of Kansas City. A dedicated pregame and postgame for the flagship station. Very nice of you to say, but nothing to worry about on that front. Royals win 2-0 on the back of another outstanding pitching performance from that outstanding rotation. A rotation that is now number one in Major League Baseball in innings pitched. They have the second most strikeouts in the sports. And their ERA, their collective ERA, is 3.35. That's top 5 in Major League Baseball. My game notes following this, the 13th win of the season. My game notes are brought to you by Jay's Southland Tow. Be in the know and call Jay's Southland Tow. Royals win 2-0. We take our first quick timeout and get back to your thoughts and head inside that Royals clubhouse after this. We are live at Kauffman Stadium, hopefully on the radio right now. Royals grab the win, 2-0. Are we heading inside that clubhouse?
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Okay, we are back. Yeah, okay, let's head inside the victorious Royals clubhouse. Pleased to be joined by Lucas Erceg. A 1-2-3, 13 pitch, ninth inning. He picks up his first save of the season. Lucas, I greatly appreciate the time. Great job out there. I was just marveling with the fans of, man, how quickly things change in this game. This time last week, the team's lost 5 in a row. Fast forward to today, and the boys can't be stopped.
Yeah, that's just that's baseball in a nutshell, right? You kind of you play some good teams, and you know balls don't fall, and you know you make good pitches, and they fall for the other team, and now it's our turn to kind of you know take advantage of the opportunities that we have, and we're doing all the little things right, so we're gonna keep stacking.
I feel like I know the answer to this question, but as you're warming up, two-run game coming in to pick up the save, is it any difference of adrenaline the ninth inning compared to when we've seen you in the sixth, the seventh, and the eighth? I understand they've all been big moments.
Yeah, you know, I want to sit here and say that, no, there's no difference. But, of course, you know, coming into a save situation, it's going to be a little bit better. But I believe I've done a really good job, especially in the offseason, of just trying to minimize my approach to the game and what my process looks like. You know, I don't want to let the outside noise and the atmosphere, the situation, all that stuff kind of dictate how I go about my business. I take pride in keeping it simplistic and just kind of, you know, going out there to do one job, and that's just to get three outs. So, you know, the situation might be different, but the internal process and all that stuff kind of, you know, it stays the same. And I've found success in that approach in the past and you know, which with each, you know, outing that I go into it, I want to keep it the same and keep doing my job. So
you still have a bruise on the foot. How's that feeling?
Yeah. There's still a little bit of a bruise there, but it's feeling good. You know, I think, the off day in between the Detroit series and the Colorado series really allowed me to kind of recover and, you know, get past all that inflammation and stiffness that I had. But, you know, it feels fine. I'm, you know, ready to go out there. I wanted to be available, you know, on Saturday and Sunday, you know, the day after it happened essentially, but, I'm glad that, I was able to have those next couple of days off just so that I can get it recovered and get back into it, just because you don't want that, you know, an injury like that to kind of nag you the rest of the season. So, you know, the training staff did a really good job of taking care of me and making sure that I was able to do my job at the, you know, at the highest level. So,
no doubt. Well, you're tougher than all of us. I got two final questions for you, Lucas. First of all, if you would, how would you describe the confidence that the boys are playing with? I know you guys don't want to get too high, too low, but it's been a pretty solid, well-rounded brand of baseball the guys are playing.
Yeah. You know, I'd say the vibes in the clubhouse hasn't changed much, even, you know, when we're on that little tough skid. But we just kind of, you know, we have good leadership in the clubhouse, and they reiterate all the time, just doing all the little things right, you know, and that goes down to, you know, getting the bunt down in the sixth or the seventh or whatever it was, just to get that extra insurance run, getting guys on, you know what I mean? Like, I think the little stuff matters, and especially at the big league level, like the little things, if you don't do them right, they get magnified and the other team tends to kind of take advantage of that. So, you know, like I said, the vibes in the clubhouse have been good. They've stayed solid. They've stayed positive. And, you know, it's kind of our turn to take advantage of doing all the little things correctly and you know, equating those to wins. So.
You're 100% right. Each team had their leadoff runner on three times. The Royals capitalized twice, and that's why the Royals walk away victorious. Final thing for you, can you give me a few thoughts of what it's like as a big league pitcher, knowing a lot more than anybody listening right now, what it's like to observe Seth Lugo when he's lasered in the way that he was tonight?
I mean, it's just it's incredible to watch, especially for us bullpen guys being down there. You know, we run into a tough skid where we have to, you know, eat a bunch of innings and this and that, or even in, you know, the doubleheader, and Cole unfortunately goes down with, you know, what he's dealing with. You know, to have a vet like Seth Lugo to come in and be as efficient as he was tonight was just incredible to watch. It's fun to watch, obviously, especially for, you know, for me personally, just watching his process and how many pitches he throws, and, you know, just seeing what kind of sequences he kind of plays out to each hitter. It's incredible. You know what I mean? It's yeah, it's just fun to watch.
Yeah, as are you, Lucas. Greatly appreciate the time. Thank you very much for the phone call, and hopefully we see you guys celebrating another win tomorrow night.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Brent.
Yeah, my pleasure. There you go. Lucas Ursegg, ladies and gentlemen, this season, the flame-throwing righty has faced 32 batters. He's recorded 31 outs. It's remarkable. Four base runners all season permitted by Lucas Ursegg. Thanks again for dialing us up. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7965. Royals shut out the Astros 2-0, the final score. 913-586-7965. That's the phone number. That's also our text line number. The Royals have now won 5 in a row, and they hand the ball to Michael Wacha. Game 2 of this 3-game series comes your way Saturday night, 6:10 for the first pitch. I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show beginning at 5 o'clock, but don't forget, our NFL draft coverage starts tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. with Jay Binkley and Chris Unocero, the guys from the Character Concerns podcast. They'll start you off at 11 a.m. and talk you all the way through the draft up until the On Deck Show tomorrow at 5 o'clock. All right, let's head inside that victorious Royals clubhouse as we were just there chatting with Lucas Ursegg. Seth Lugo was just chatting with the media, and our very own Kramer Sansone was there.
Seth, how would you evaluate this one on the mound for you tonight?
You know, I thought I did a really good job of executing pitches. You know, I thought it was one of the better fastballs I've had this year, you know, location and, you know, action on it. And, you know, changed speeds well and stayed in the zone very well. So I was pleased with that.
Was it your game plan to go with your fastball early and attack the Houston hitters?
Not really. When I was warming up in the pen, I noticed it had a little more life than it had been. So, you know, I just rolled with it after it felt good warming up.
Yeah, Contreras said this was the best game he's seen you pitch as a Royal. Would you think, you know, that's the same thing?
I mean, yeah, I mean, that's a good lineup. And, you know, continued to execute pitches throughout the game. You know, there's a couple I'd like back, but, you know, always room for improvement.
In the eighth inning there, you got a nice double play started by Bobby. What did that do for you and just to allow you to get through that inning unscathed?
Yeah, that was huge. You know, Freddie came out there, you know, so we said we're going to get a double play with this guy. And, you know, executed, you know, 3 good pitches, you know, so gave myself 3 opportunities if he made contact. And, yeah, that, you know, that part of the game with the top of the lineup coming up, it was really great to get the bottom 3 guys out right there.
Did you push to want to go out for your ninth inning?
No, I know, you know, those top 3 guys are tough, and Ursig's out there, so I'll let him finish it.
Yeah, and run support-wise, been a little bit unlucky recently. Two tonight, you know, was enough. How can you kind of battle through that, you know, through your start? Is that, I mean, does the run support, I guess, kind of affect, you know, your mentality on the mound?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit. You know, as you get deeper in the game, you have to be aware of the scoreboard, you know, to, you know what kind of, you know, how you're going to attack the hitters and how aggressive you're going to be in zone. So, you know, ideally you like more, but, you know, 2 is enough tonight, so we got the W.
When you look at this 5-game win streak that you guys are now, what has kind of worked for you to continue to put some stacks of wins together?
You know, I'd say the whole lineup. You know, it's everyone's out there doing their jobs. You know, a couple sack bunts today. You know, the 1 through 9, everybody in the lineup's doing something. And, you know, each pitcher, whether it's, you know, bullpen covering a longer game or, you know, starter pitching deep, it's the whole team. So it's a, you know, great clubhouse streak we got.
8 shutout innings from Seth Lugo. He faces 3 over the minimum. 94 pitches is all he needed to get through those 8 scoreless. Of those 94 pitches, 36% of them were either stared at for a strike or swung on and whiffed for a strike. 94 pitches 25 four-seamers, 17 slurves, 11 sliders, 10 curves, 9 slow curves, 8 sinkers, 7 cutters, 3 splitters, 3 changeups, 1 sweeper, and a partridge in a pear tree. Good luck, man. What? You know, you heard Jackson Stone of MLB.com ask Seth Lugo about his lack of run support. You know, even with the 2 runs of support he received tonight, that's a total of 3 runs of support across his last 4 starts combined. But at one point during the game, Jackson looks over at me in the press box and says, you know, is Lugo's fastball normally, is he normally riding the fastball this much early on in the game? And I was honest with him. I'm like, man, I don't even try to keep up with Lugo. He's got so many different pitches. His wavelength, his knowledge of the game, his baseball IQ is so far superior to mine that I don't even try. I don't. He's too good. I just put my feet up and watch, man. He is a joy to... And then you got Lucas Erceg coming out for the 9th. It was a joyous night at the K if you're a fan of some outstanding pitching in Royal Blue. Royals win 2-0. They're just a game under 500, 13-14 on the season. 913-586-7965. We go to Grady, who's out in Topeka. Grady, you're on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern, just want to say my fiance Riley and I listen to you every night. We love following your post-game show. Yeah, and the pre-game show.
Well, I appreciate it. It's very nice of you.
Yep, we're just leaving the K, so just wanted to point out with Massey and Renfro having some really solid at-bats tonight, especially later in the game. Loved Renfro coming through there with runners in scoring position. Just curious your thoughts on how those two are looking. It seemed like it was much better this evening.
Yeah, I mean, they both almost went bridge, too. I thought Massey touched that one in the 2nd inning, and Renfro certainly almost took it yard in the 6th inning with that full count offering, 2 on and 1 out. I appreciate the phone call. Listen, Renfro, what I say, has a hit in 4 of his last 5 games, something like that. You know, winning always helps. And winning in the fashion that the Royals have won, where I've called it grimy. You know, it's not often one of those games where you're driving home going, man, I loved everything. They did everything great. It's a game of failure, so I think we understand that that's not going to happen very often, but it seemed like it happened a touch bit more often last year than it has this year. Now, you're winning a lot of one-run, two-run games, low-scoring games, games where... You know, it's a bunt from Kyle Isbell. It's an opposite field bloop from Drew Waters. It's this guy didn't get the job done, but the guy hitting behind him will pick him up. Right? You've had a, you know, when I look at this 5-game winning streak, outside of the nightcap yesterday, when Vinny, Bobby, and Salvi had the first game all year where they've all driven in a run and all scored a run, you know, that was... You know, coupled with Michael Lorenzen's quality start, that was the most reminiscent game of 2024 than we've seen in a long time. The big bats were big, the rotation was strong, defense was sound, base running was good, and the bullpen got the job done. Didn't see that, haven't seen that all that much this season. But in the other 4 games in the course of this winning streak, I don't think any of them were clean. Well, there were disappointing moments from the defense, disappointing moments from a hitter, from a pitcher, but they were being picked up. You know, Carlos Estevez on Sunday in Detroit picked the boys up. You know, Freddie Fermin was picked up by Vinny Pasquantino in that win back on Sunday against Tarek Skubal. You know, Carlos Estevez almost coughed one up Tuesday night against Colorado. But the boys picked him up in extra innings. You know, game 1 yesterday. You know, the bullpen picked up Cole Reagans. He wasn't great. He didn't even come out for the 4th inning because of that growing strain. Or growing tightness, I should say. But the bullpen picked him up, right? Zerpa, Cruz, Erceg, Estevez got the job done. And then today, yeah, the offense scores 2 runs. And of the 9 hits today, How many times did the boys square it up? I see Michael Massey put a charge into a ground ball in the fourth. Yeah, that's the only exit velo north of 100 miles per hour today from the Royals' offense, but Seth Lugo picked him up. Now the defense of Kyle Isbell in center field, the double play turned by Bobby and Massey, that key double play in the eighth inning, picks up the squad. So to get back to your question about Massey and Renfro, when you're having team victories like that, now it's easy for me to say this. I'm not the one that is out there fighting for my life in front of 20,000 people. But I have to imagine for winners like Michael Massey and Hunter Renfro, when their head hits the pillow, it's a little bit easier to drown out the, hey, you went 0 for 2 today, or, all the negative thoughts. It's easier to drown that out because, hey, I contributed to a win. Massey got that sack bunt down. Renfro put that ball in the air, got that run in, that second run with the sacrifice fly. So, no, the numbers that they see on the Jumbotron are not anything that anyone wants to boast about. But when they show up to the ballpark tomorrow, the mindset isn't what it was in the first 3 weeks of the season, because the mindset back then had to be, boy, we're all struggling right now, and if I can just get that one big swing of the bat, I can turn things around, not just for me, but for everyone. No. When they show up tomorrow to the ballpark, the mindset is, what can I add? What can my contribution to a victory be? I don't need to be the reason why we win. I can be one of the reasons why we won. So what am I seeing out of those guys? I'm seeing those guys being a part of a winning team that are scratching and clawing and getting dirty and grimy and muddy to try to have one more run than the other team. Massey playing a strong second base and really has been all season long. Hunter Renfro, I thought, played that double off the wall in the fourth inning off of the bat of Isak Paredes. I thought he played that pretty well. But I can't say that they've turned a corner, or, Massey's going to be that 20 home run guy. Renfro's going to be that 20 home run guy for the final, 135 games left? I hope that's the case. But what I hope even more so is that this mindset of just add your contribution to the bucket, to the winning bucket, if that mentality stays, and if the great rotation remains, then all is well. Yeah. You keep getting one of the five best rotations in Major League Baseball, you can scratch and claw to a lot of victories. I mean, the Royals right now dead last in Major League Baseball in home runs, just like they were in 2014. 2014, of course, great rotation, legendary bullpen. We're yet to be seen if this is a great rotation, and we're a long way away from it being a legendary bullpen. But who knows? Maybe it's a legendary rotation. Reagans and Lugo, both top five finishers last year in the American League Cy Young Award. Chris Bubich right now is, according to Baseball Reference, one of the five best pitchers so far this season in the sport. You'll be hard-pressed to find a number five starter putting up better numbers than Michael Lorenzen. And then Michael Wacha just continues to give you a chance to win every time he takes the ball. And he'll do that tomorrow. Well, take the ball, hopefully give you a chance to win, but he'll take the ball tomorrow. 6:10 for the first pitch, and I'm on the air again, beginning at 5 o'clock. Let's go to JD in Parkville. JD, you're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead. JD, are you okay? Oh, no. JD. He's either sleeping or that's an oxygen tank. Either way, JD, I'm going to pray for you, brother. I appreciate the phone call. Hopefully all is well out there in Parkville. If anyone knows where JD lives, just go check him, my man, would you? Do me a solid. 913-586-7965. Let's go to Justin in Oklahoma City. Justin, are you okay?
Vern, loud and clear. Loud and clear, okay,
good,
brother.
Good. All right.
thanks for taking my call. Man, three players I like to talk about, Seth Lugo. Probably the best, to me, probably the best performance as a starting pitcher this year. I mean, eight innings pitched, eight strikeouts, only three hits given up. Awesome night.
Cole Reagan's had a pretty good one. I actually might give Cole Reagan's the edge. He had that, 10 punch out, no walk, 7 2/3 in Cleveland.
That's right.
Go ahead.
And, Drew Waters, man. Drew Waters is impressing me, man.
I mean, balling.
You know, he is, man. I'm really impressed by him, and I look forward to, seeing him continue to contribute and, see where he goes this season. And obviously, Bobby Witt Jr., 3-for-4 tonight.
Crazy.
You know, one for...
Can you believe this? You know. Check this out, Justin. Tonight was his first three-hit game of the year. Isn't that wild?
It is wild. It seemed like last year it was just a day at the office for him. So
he's still top 10 in hits in all of Major League Baseball with 37.
Absolutely. And I'm going to leave you with this, too, man. I'm proud Kansas City Royals fan. I love your show, man. I'm a big time fan of yours. And hey, try to send some our little basketball team right here in Oklahoma City is fixing to do some special things. So if you guys want to jump on board, go right ahead.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for the phone call. We're good. We're pretty focused on this baseball team, and in our free time, we check out that football team. And I'm a Pistons fan. 33 base hits for Bobby Witt Jr. I apologize. He's still top 10 in baseball, but 33 base hits. He extends his career best hitting streak to 17 games with his first inning single to left field. Bobby hitting .371 across this 17-game hitting streak. Listen. I mentioned it on the On Deck show. It's just, it's an undeniable fact. He's the best baseball player on the planet Earth. Now, maybe there's someone better somewhere else, but he does not reside on planet Earth. Bobby matches Michael Garcia for the team lead with a 7th multi-hit game. Royals 3-hit the Astros. 2-0, the final score. They'll look to get back to .500 coming up tomorrow with Michael Wacha on the hill. We'll hear from Jonathan India, Drew Waters, and we'll get back to your phone calls after this.
Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan. Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
Lugo brings it in. And a shot, one hop. Whip's got it. Second one. First base. Got them both. Cam Smith hit it about as hard as you can hit it. And Bobby Witt, lunging to his right, played it on the backhand, got the ball to Massey, who made the turn at second. And the Royals turn a double play.
That's the Hall of Fame voice of your boys in blue, the great Denny Matthews. Great call of the MVP Air Conditioning Cool Play of the Game. It's brought to you by MVP Air Conditioning, Heating, Plumbing, and Electric. Get your AC ready for summer and running efficiently with a tune-up for only $39. Go to the MVPKC.com or call 913-322-0868 today. MVP, one call, does it all. 8th inning, Royals up 2-0. Which may feel like a sizable lead, especially in 2025 with this offense that is barely averaging 3 runs a game. But a 2-run lead is anything but safe. That's a bloop and a blast, right? And Lugo comes out in the 8th inning. He's at 84 pitches. It's the right decision to bring him out. I thought it was the right decision to bring him out. And then Victor Caratini gets ahead in the count 3-1 and blisters one to right field for a leadoff single, 104 miles per hour off of the bat. So right there you're going, okay, all right, Seth's fading a little bit. Starting to touch him up pretty well third time through. Yeah, and at that point, wow, taking a look at it, third time through of the first seven hitters, right? Carantini hits that rocket single to lead off the eighth. Yeah, third time through, if you made contact off of Seth Lugo, which five of the first seven batters did, exit velo's north of 100 miles per hour every single time. The only time that didn't happen is when Lugo was punching tickets like he did to Jeremy Pena and that DeZenzo cat. Anyway, 2-0, eighth inning, leadoff single, a rocket off of the bat of Carantini, and that brings up Cam Smith. Falls behind 0-2, but then he squares one up, hits a rocket, one hopper at Bobby Witt Jr., 106 miles per hour off of the bat, but the reigning American League Gold Glover, no sweat. Backhand, flips it over to Massey, over to Vinny, boom, 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 6-4-3. That is the MVP air conditioning cool play of the game. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7965. Let's go to Dylan in Kansas City. Dylan, you're on the postgame show. Go ahead.
What's up, man? How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing well. Tip of the cap to you, Derek Kersey, in your honor. We all love you here. Thank you for doing it. Me and my buddy went out to the game on Tuesday, got to see that awesome win. Stayed all the way there. We were sitting sideline right behind the dugout and on the third base side, got to see Michael's. Or not Michael, I'm sorry. Freddie Fermin's dope pickoff on third. That was great. Went back for the first game of the doubleheader and stayed for the second one. Had a blast. We were joking about Vinny, you know, getting out of his slump. How's he going to swing? How's he going to hit? What's he doing? He's opening his stance up a little bit more. We're just wondering. But it still looked like he was swinging out of his shoes. And it looked like all the other Royals that game, the first game of the doubleheader, were also swinging so hard. You could educate me on what it counts as a hard hit ball, but all those boys, it seemed like, were swinging hard and they were hitting it and they kept doing it the next game. And hey, we got some more hits tonight. So all signs point up, and just really thrilled to see the boys kind of coming back into the form that we're looking to see as far as the bats go. So yeah. I don't know what you think about bats collectively, or if you have any intel on what Vinny's trying to do differently, but go Royals.
Thanks for the phone call. No, I think the one positive thing tonight, well, one of many many positive things to come out of tonight was that base knock to lead off the sixth inning for Vinny. I've heard plenty of really good hitters, and I think Vinny is a really good hitter. I've heard plenty of really good hitters say that when they're going through an extended funk, they want to get jammed, right? If that can help them find their barrel, find their sweet spot once again. And Vinny got jammed there. 2-2 sweeper up and in, sweeping into the left-handed hitting Pasquantino, and he fights it off, fights it to center, a knuckleball off of the bat that drops into center field, and he came around to score the second run for the Royals in tonight's 2-0 victory. My thought on the offense is, it's hard to truly grade this 2025 Royals offense because Salvi, up until yesterday, was one of the five most unlucky hitters in all of Major League Baseball. Bobby remains a one-man wrecking crew. And then Vinny. Yeah, Vinny striking out at a clip we've never really seen before. Did not punch out today. Hit a line drive at the second baseman after that jammed leadoff single in the sixth, so hopefully the best is yet to come moving forward with Vinny. Now, Royals face a lefty tomorrow when Framber Valdez will. It'll be interesting to see if he gets a day off tomorrow or not. But my overall thought on the offense is the offense is always going to be bottom third of Major League Baseball if Vinny, Bobby, and Salvi are anything short of very good. Not saying they need to be great like they were last year, because they were all great. I don't think it's fair to ask for a repeat of 2024 from all three of them. But I can't have a massive drop-off. You can't be bad. You can't be below league average, which is where Vinny has been for quite a while, where Salvi was for most of the season. Bobby, obviously not. But it all begins with those three. know, for as much as we want to celebrate Mike Kell, and we should, last 12 games for Garcia, he has 13 hits, 8 walks, and for the season, he's batting .284. Now, Drew Waters deserves praise. Kyle Isbell, hard to ask for much more out of the 9 spot. Freddie Fermin's turning his season offensively, turning it around. Which, even as I say that, that's silly to say 27 games into the season. It's not even deep enough to need to turn it all around. But I don't think you can levy a true judgment on this offense until you see what this offense was built to be. And the offense was built around Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi, and we're yet to see those guys all click. We've only seen one game in April where all three of them have driven in a run. It's only happened once this month. Not saying that it's going to happen every night, that's silly, but once a week, three times every 2 weeks, you get Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi going and hitting the way that we know they're capable of, and then you sprinkle in your red-hot Drew Waters and Mikel Garcia, Izzy in the 9 spots. You know, Jonathan India feels less pressure. Who knows what that offense looks like? So, yeah, I have a tough time grading this offense. If this continues, if Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi continue to put up these type of numbers, yeah, they're going to remain bottom third. But I don't believe that's going to happen. Salvi with a great performance yesterday, an all-time performance yesterday. And we'll see what today's plate appearances lead to tomorrow for Vinny Pasquantino. Dylan, thanks for the phone call. Talking so much about Drew Waters, let's head back inside that victorious Royals clubhouse. Drew Waters addressing the media, and our very own Kramer Sansone is there.
So, as Vinny said, how have you felt at the plate and getting 2 doubles a day?
Good.
How you been?
Obviously, I've felt good. Pretty good. Again, I'm just trying to do the little things, put the ball in play, and let my speed play. So that's kind of the mindset I've had going up to the plate.
How comfortable have you felt since coming back up from AAA and getting adjusted with the big league squad?
Yeah, I mean, I felt comfortable. I would say since the start of spring, it's a lot of the same guys, and you know, we're all good friends in here, and so to have the opportunity to play with them on a everyday basis, it's definitely fun.
And getting consistent playing time, you know, being in that lineup every day, just mentally, does that give you that confidence that, you know, that, hey, you know, I can do this?
Definitely. I mean, it's one of those things that, again, you kind of, you're either going to sink or you're going to swim, and you just got to go up there and try to compete every day. Regardless of the results, go up there, try to put together the best at-bat you can, and the results will happen.
How did you feel watching Seth Lugo go do what he did today on the mound?
It was fun. I would always kind of look back at the scoreboard, see what pitch he was throwing. With him, you know, he's got like 13 different pitches to keep guys off balance. So anytime you get to watch a guy like that pitch, it's pretty special.
And how important is it for the offense collectively to, you know, just stay within themselves and move the ball, pass the bat along the lineup?
It's super important. At the big league level, you face guys that are, you know, they're really good. And so it's really tough to go up there and, you know, try to do damage every single at bat, especially with some of the starters we run into. So, you know, the bloop single, and then you bunt them over, and then you come up with a big hit. Like, that's good baseball. And, you know, that's what we've been doing lately, and we're going to keep it going.
Was that the first time you saw their starter, or have you seen them before?
I've actually faced them before in AAA last year, but I actually think he's got some different pitches than I remember last. He was with the Cubs, so maybe now with him being with Houston, he's doing some things different. But, you know, anytime a guy's in the big leagues with a 3 ERA, he's doing something right. I know it's early, but he's had some success early, and you've got to honor that.
You guys are on a 5-game winning streak now. What has been working, and how can you guys continue to keep it moving forward?
I think we're just playing as a team. You know, when something happens with pitchers, the offense picks them up. When something happens with the offense, the pitchers pick us up. That's what good teams do, and we always have each other's back, and, you know, it's leading to a lot of wins. And so I think that's what we're looking to do going forward.
Drew Waters there, 2-for-3 on the day, his fourth multi-hit game since Saturday. Drew with the leadoff double in the fifth inning as he just sort of drops one. Both of his doubles today were just sort of dropped into the outfield. Neither one of them necessarily stung. Bottom of the fifth, Drew at the dish to lead off. He's ahead in the count, 2-1. He gets a 92-mile-per-hour fastball up, and he fights it off, right? Stays back, not in a rush. Very anti-2023 Drew Waters. Cool, calm, collected, nice, easy swing. Drops it just inside the left field line. I couldn't keep my mouth shut in the press box. Stay hot, Drew. That thing just barely stayed fair. And Drew was hustling out of the box in both of his doubles today. I've seen plenty of big leaguers hit him to the same spot Drew did today, and each one of them go for a single. So another tip of the cap to Drew Waters for some great hustle, a pair of hustle doubles today. And he's getting plenty of love right now on the text line, understandably so. G-Baby says, Vern, Drew Waters is here to stay. Yeah, hard to argue with you on that one. Chris in Lee's Summit, Drew Blank and Waters, Vern. I just placed my eBay order for his rookie card autograph. Let's go Royals. Signed, Chris in Lee's Summit. Yeah, no doubt. Rally Mantis giving some love to Lucas Urseg. Hey, Rally Mantis, if you missed it, Urseg was nice enough to call into the postgame show just about 25 minutes ago. If you missed it, it'll be on our podcast page on the website or, of course, on the Odyssey app. Just search for the All Things Vern podcast. Let's go to Kathy out in Los Angeles. Kathy, you're next up on the postgame show as the Royals win 2-0 and get to a game within 500. Kathy, how you feeling?
I'm doing all right, Vern. I mean, I know I'm getting a little old here, and I'm going to be 60 next year, and my memory might be going a little bit, but didn't somebody on the text line call for the Lugo era to be kind of over or something like that?
Yeah, they called it an experiment, I believe.
Uh-huh.
Well, I was also chastised on the On Deck show for being a homer and being curious as to why the Royals were the underdogs today.
Well, it's like that's okay because people out in Los Angeles some people are calling for Otani to be benched since he's slumping. It's just like, oh my God, you people are just insane.
Yeah, they don't learn.
Yeah, and Padres fans are like, we're upset that the Padres dropped 2 in Detroit. It's like, have you guys seen a record? But whatever. Yeah, they're
pretty good too. I don't know why. Detroit's pretty good.
Yeah. I don't know why it surprises me anymore the way some fans react, but hey, what are you going to do? I'm just glad our Royals are doing good and keep on going, guys. It's looking good.
No doubt.
Been at 6 in a row.
Kathy, always nice hearing from you. Thank you very much. A few more from the text line. The other Jeff in Blue Springs writes in, Vern, hey, the instruments are finally in tune, and now the songs are much better on side one of this sophomore album. Yeah, you're right. He says track one was titled Nip What in the Bud. I see a quick callback to one of the times I freaked out on a caller early in the season. Freaked out on Steven in Kansas City, but Steven and I have since buried the hatchet, and he's become one of my favorite callers. Jeff, thanks for listening, man. I appreciate it, and thanks for playing along with my theme of the season, the sophomore album. Appreciate it. From the 913, Vern, I thought it was a great game tonight. Pitching was lights out, but I am still a little concerned about the entire lineup needing to be a little bit more productive on the offensive end. Other than that, great win. Signed, Tim. Yeah, no doubt. No doubt, Tim, that the Royals are going to need more than 3.1 runs per game or whatever their average is now. But hitting's really tough. It's the toughest thing to do in professional sports. That's why if you can pitch, it's going to allow you to have quite a bit of success. Because even the best offenses go through extended funks. As Kathy just pointed out, dive into Shohei Ohtani's numbers right now. They got some injuries in that lineup. Their pitching staff has fallen apart. I understand they have different resources than the Royals do here in Kansas City. But there aren't many offenses in the history of the sports that can overcome subpar performances from four of their top five hitters. And 27 games into the season, with the offensive production we've seen from Salvi, Vinny, India, and Massey, four of the Royals' top five hitters have underperformed. So the fact that they sit at 13 and 14, unless you don't believe in those guys I just mentioned, which, if you don't, yeah, you might want to dive off the bandwagon. I do. Salvi's baseball reference page speaks for itself. Vinny's too good of a hitter for this to persist. The back of Jonathan India's baseball card says that on-base percentage is only heading north over the final 5 months of the season. And as a couple of callers and a texter have mentioned, well, Michael Massey's contributed to a couple of these wins over the course of this five-game winning streak with some big sacrifice flies that he almost went bridge to open things up in the second inning. Now, who knows? In a week from now, in a month from now, the way that we're talking about this 13 and 14 starts, maybe we're looking back with amazement going, can you believe how great that pitching staff was to offset how miserable that offense was? Because if those bats that have been dormant for a majority of these 27 games, if they come alive and pair up with a defense that is looking more and more similar to the type of defenses we become accustomed to seeing in Kansas City, begin to pair up with this great rotation, a bullpen that has some dogs at the back end, and the emergence of Daniel Lynch and Angel Zerpa looked pretty good the last time, and hopefully we're getting good news on Hunter Harvey later on this weekend. Well, there's 80% of the season still ahead of us. And the Royals are right there. Right there with a record of 13 and 14. 913-586-7965 is our phone number. The text line is there as well. 913-586-7965. Guy in Gladstone says, Seth Lugo, you are my hero. Yeah, I think he's a lot of people's hero after that performance tonight. Hey, I mentioned Jonathan India. Congratulations to Jonathan India. That's two-out single in the fifth inning. Career base hit number 500 for India. The Royals' third baseman and leadoff hitter has now hit safely in five of his last seven games. Let's head back inside that Royals clubhouse and hear what he had to say after this one to the assembled media, including 96.5's own. I don't think that's the way to put it. 96.5's own, Kramer Sansone. Take it away.
Jonathan, to get your 500 career hit, what does that mean to you?
It's awesome. You know, it's a special thing. And I, you know, this game is so hard and, you know, we're always grinding every day. So to have an accomplishment like that is very big for me. And, you know, I'm gonna keep going.
How have you been feeling at the plate and just continuing to, you know, get some good at bats and produce at the top of the lineup?
It's baseball. You know, every day, you know, I can't really say how I'm feeling. It's just, you know, part of the game. You gotta keep going. You gotta control what I can control. And just, you know, show up and be a good teammate. That's all I can do.
Did you keep the baseball when they threw it into the dugout?
No, I have no clue. I didn't know it was my 500th hit. But, no, it's definitely a big accomplishment, and I'm grateful for it.
Yeah, you had a front row seat to Seth Lugo's outing tonight. What did you say to him?
That was incredible. He was working quick. He was dominating the zone. He was hitting all of his spots. And, you know, when a pitcher like that is on, it's so tough to get an offense going. So, yeah, it was special to watch.
And Drew Waters has been hitting the ball really well. What are you seeing out of him and his at-bats?
Yeah, he's just locked in, man. You know, he works very hard. pregame, and I'm very happy for him because he's a guy that he needs this, and he wants it really bad. And you can tell before games, you can see it in his eyes. He just wants to play well and help the team win. And that's what he's doing.
Looking at some of the at-bats tonight from your offense, what was it like facing their starter, and what kind of reads you kind of get to work up his pitch count a little bit?
Yeah, we had good offensive production. You know, we had a ton of hits, not many runs, but the offense is, slowly, surely, but coming along. You know, it's just part of baseball. That's, the game is, beating us a little bit, but we're still getting wins, which is big. So, we'll get going.
What has been working throughout this 5-game win streak that you guys are on?
Good pitching, for sure. And timely hitting is there. We just got to keep chugging along. That's all we can do. And enjoy the game.
And Bobby Witt Jr., he extended his hitting streak. Now that you got a chance to play alongside him and watch him, what is it like just being next to him and seeing what he does day in and day out?
Yeah, it's very special. He's an unbelievable player, unbelievable person, unbelievable teammate. He does everything the right way, and I'm glad to be his teammate. And he just keeps getting hits. That's what he does, and so I'm excited to see the rest of his season.
Jonathan India, great teammate in his own right. I went on and on about that earlier today on the On Deck Show. Watching him in game one of that doubleheader yesterday, he didn't play, and yet the energy he was giving his teammates, the support, the encouragement, top stepping it throughout the game, very impressed. And I saw it throughout spring training, the way that he ingratiated himself with that clubhouse so quickly, became one of the guys so quickly. He's not producing offensively the way that any of us expected. I think he has a few more excuses than maybe some of his teammates. Right, he dealt with that quad injury, took a fastball to the dome. But man, is he a fantastic teammate and a great clubhouse addition. Thanks to Jalen Thompson of the Kansas City Star asking those questions inside the clubhouse. Royals win 2-0. They've now won 16 of the last 19 games in which they wear those City Connects. Maybe start wearing those more. Few more from the text line. 913-586-7965. Lonnie and KCK. Vern, this is the Lugo we were hoping to see. He was attacking the strike zone. Nice to see Drew Waters producing as well. Yeah, no doubt, Lonnie. Nice to hear from you, buddy. What else do we have from the text line? Katie in North Carolina. Vern, you got to love the grit. Lugo got down and dirty. He was clean cut. Q was unshaven. Izzy spits grit. Even the unshaven Italian Stallion got some hits tonight. Let's go. Signed, Katie in North Carolina. Katie, that you, man. Now you're more dialed in than I am. You're hip on the facial hair. Well, you got the best of me tonight. Okay. But now I need to know, last time out was... Lugo clean cut? Was Q unshaven, or was he shaved? See, now I got a whole bunch of questions. I like it. I like the superstition. I've seen Massey's done it. Vinny's done it this season. We're not going well. Let's go clean shaven tomorrow. Still not going well. Let's try to grow the beard out a little bit. Katie, way to go. Way to stay dialed in. From the 816, Vern, when can I start comparing Lucas Erceg to Wade Davis? When he goes to an all-star game. Once he's named to an all-star game, then you can start those comparisons. If you're asking me, that's what I would say. Jeremy in Independence is still hoping for a little bit more from the offense, but overall, great game. Yeah, no doubt. Jeremy, but I'll reiterate something. If you had your choice when it comes to the five facets of this game, offense, defense, base running, starting pitching, and relief pitching, if you're doing a draft, what's your first choice? Starting pitching, right? Well, it is for me. I'd go starting pitching one, defense two, And I guess probably offense three. But the Royals starting pitching, like I mentioned, is top five in Major League Baseball in just about every meaningful category. The defense over the course of this five-game winning streak is as quality as it's been. Izzy and Waters, even Drew Hunter Renfro looking better in right. And, you know, that infield of Michael and Bobby and Massey, even Vinny and Salvi at first as well. They've been outstanding. Freddie's been putting on a show behind the dish. My point is, you're always going to want more from the offense. We wanted more from the offense in 2014 and 2015 and 2016 and 2017. We wanted more from the offense last year. Everybody wants more from the offense. Even great offenses want more from the offense. But it's the toughest thing to do in professional sports. All offenses go up and down throughout the season. But the one thing that stays pretty consistent, if you have it, is great starting pitching, great defense, and great base running. And so far this season, I can't say that the base running or the defense have been great, but it's there. You know it's there. The starting pitching, no doubt about it, it's been great. 913-586-7965. From the 913, Vern, this is a top five staff in the American League, and we're yet to see Reagans and Lugo put together back-to-back nights. Vern, when it all clicks with just a little bit of offense, this team is going to rip off a serious run. Sure, yeah, no argument. They're a top five staff in the major leagues, not just the American League. Top five rotation in the major leagues. Okay, maybe, you know what? I don't know why I'm nitpicking. Yeah, top five pitching staff in the American League. Okay, I can get with that. No, you're right. Top five rotation in baseball, top five staff in the AL. Yeah, I'm with that. We have anything else from the text line? Yeah, we got Dan and KCK talking about the fundamental baseball played by the Royals tonight and, of course, throwing a bouquet the way of Seth Lugo. Hoping for six in a row with Michael Wacha on the hill. Yeah, Wacha squares off with former All-Star left-hander Framber Valdez, who is suddenly no longer the ace of this Astros staff. Now, that's now a young man by the name of Hunter Brown that we're all going to see coming up on Sunday. Boy, what a pitching matchup. If you don't have your tickets yet for Sunday, Chris Bubich and Hunter Brown, these are three of the, five best pitchers in the sport so far in 2025, three of the 10 best. Oh, I can't wait for that game. I'm excited for tomorrow, too. Michael Wacha, Framber Valdez, 6:10 for the first pitch. I'll talk to you at 5 o'clock. JT Noah, thank you so much for the help back at the studio. Kansas City, thanks for listening. We'll do it again coming up tomorrow on 96.5 The Fan. Take care.